some of you now may be quite surprised or maybe a little disturbed why I'm so strong. I can only tell you that I'm just a man filled with burden, a very specific burden, and that is it is not just something even just for Northern California. I will tell you, this is a general need in the recovery today still, after all these years. But there, we can only follow the Lord and according to fellowship and in the body, along with the inward leading of the Lord, to discharge our burden. But I really believe in my own seeking and prayer that what we are touching here, covering here, is the most central thing as far as our experience and our practice is concerned. I just look to the Lord that we would give our attention to this fellowship and not miss it. And also not to make light of it, nor neglect it. It is not a small thing to do so. The Lord have mercy on all of us. Now, let's continue our fellowship. We now come to the case of Moses. And about him ascending up another mountain there in the wilderness. And it says here, I'm just going to start, Moses ascended a mountain where he dwelt in the presence of God for 40 days and nights. Dwelt, firstly. That means this person remained. He lived there. He actually, 40 days and 40 nights is over a month. So in essence, he was living there. He moved up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, dwelling where? Not just up the mountain, but in the presence of God. You say 40 days and 40 nights are too long. How can anyone say that we can spend too much time? We overspend time with the Lord. Can anyone say that? Can anyone say that we waste time when we are with the Lord, with God? That thinking itself is irrational as far as the Christian mind is concerned. But I'm afraid we think that way. Oh, don't be too much. Don't be too spiritual. You take care of your duties, responsibilities. You need to still build a career. You still need to build up a business. You still need to do this, and you still need to raise a family. And yes, we do. But what is more important? Well, really, what is more important? What is the central thing? What is the eternal things? And we would say, oh, I just don't have time with the Lord, for the Lord. I'm just too busy. So this whole thing, this Matthew 6:33 about seeking first the kingdom, it's just a word. It's just a verse. It's not real. seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Do we really believe that? Actually, we don't. Many things are far more important than God. Far more important things for us to do than to dwell in his presence. That's optional. A little more or less. Well, to someone with that kind of mindset, I will tell you, already your priority is upside down. An overcomer's priority is this is first. The presence of God is first. And 40 days and 40 nights is not too much. If we mean business, underline mean business, you know, this is a word we use a lot in the earlier years in the church life. Brothers and sisters, Brother Lee would say, we're here to mean business, aren't we? Or are we playing a game? Maybe the word playing a game is too demeaning a word, too much, maybe. But do we mean business? Are we for real here or not? If we mean business with the Lord concerning his building, we must go into his presence, do some climbing. I like this. Do some climbing. Jehovah can always come down, but he wants men to go up to meet him where he is, to get away from those people, to be in a different place, just totally apart from all of that, to be with God, to be face to face with God, to hear God, and just to be there. I don't know, 40 days and 40 nights, what they were doing, God and Moses, I don't know. But they just maybe sitting there looking at each other, I don't know. But he says he didn't drink, he didn't eat, he didn't need to. Even his body was supplied by God's face, by God's glory. That infusion was good enough. Yeah, that's very real. Do we have that kind of desire, that kind of, want in us? And it says, and learn to stay in his presence. Don't just get to his presence. I got here to the summit. You know, I got to, what do you call, Mount Everest. Let's take a few pictures. Let's get down again before the oxygen runs out. Are we here just to summit? Are we here just to get to this place and tell the whole world we've been there? Or is our intention to stay, remain in his presence? To do what? Nothing. Just to fellowship with him about anything, everything, whatever is on God's heart, whatever is on Moses' heart. They just fellowship, they converse, they communicate, they commune with one another. Just to stay there, just to stay there. Don't go away. Don't move. Don't think about what's going down on the mountain. Let yourself be totally occupied, possessed, even obsessed, if I can borrow that word, with God and his intentions, his heart, his being, to spend that kind of time with that kind of longing and need. So Moses is a classic case. A, through God speaking to Moses during his lengthy stay, I underline the word lengthy stay with God, not a short stay, lengthy. 40 days, 40 nights, a long time. Moses was thoroughly infused with God and saturated with him. As a result, Moses' faith shone. what is, to use our words, our vocabulary today, Moses got super vital. How can you spend that much time with God and you not get before the living God, right? He is the living God, and you don't become living. This God is filled with glory. And you spend so much time and you won't be glorified yourself. You won't be electrified yourself. It's impossible. Those times are just times of constant, nonstop infusion of God through his face, through the index of his eyes, through his speaking, infusing himself into Moses, and that enlivened Moses, that makes his face shine. That's what happened. And so how can we not shine? How can we be vital without such times? Brothers, we need a revolution. We need a revolution in the way we live, in the way we order our lives. Not just for us, all Christians need this, but especially us, who are bearing the Lord's testimony in his recovery today. How can we not spend this kind of time and, okay, we're going to be overcomers. We're going to build up the bride. We're going to work out the God-ordained way. No way. No impossible. One, if we would shine forth God, we need to spend time with him. As simple as that. Spend the time, quality time, and quantity time, both. The quantity is 40 days, 40 nights, and the quality is God's face. Not to do something in those times. Those are not times to do things. Those are times just to be still. And to have him, that is God, transfused into our being. That's it. Isn't this God's economy? For God to work himself into us. That all can be just talk if we don't spend the time. It's not real. Two, the highest profession on earth is to spend time, profession, is to spend time being infused with God that we may shine forth God. Nothing, that's it. Right there is God's economy. To be infused and to shine, to behold and to reflect as a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image. That means we now start to really express God, express this living God, to shine him forth in front of people. This is the gospel preaching. This is to minister life to man. This is how we should be in the meetings, come to the meetings. This is how we go and shepherd people. You see, this is why our meetings are dead. This is why our gospel is weak. This is why our testimony is feeble. We have not spent the time to be electrified, to be stimulated, to be infused, to soak and to be permeated with life, with power, with glory, with the face of Jesus Christ. And so the church life is a burden, full of demands. No time for that. Everything is a drag. Brothers, that's because we're not vital. And that's because we have not spent the adequate time. B, it is as a result of his long stay with God that Moses' face was shining. Underlined long and underlined stay. not even just to stay a little bit. This is not a, you know, a brief visit, a short call, just to say hi. No, no, no. Moses didn't go up to the mountain to say hi. Moses went up there to live with God for a while. One, if we would shine with the Lord's glory, we also need to have a lengthy stay with God. Two, if we would stay with God, we need to forget everything else. That's the condition. God said, you want me? You want my presence? You forget everything else. Then you have my presence. Will we pay that price? Buy from me gold. Buy from me the white garments. Buy from me the eye salve. Open the door that I will come into you and feast with you. Be zealous, therefore, he said. This is all to the church in Laodicea. Forget everything else. You know, even we use the word, we don't want to be extreme. We want to be normal. I know I speak a lot about normality, but ours is a miraculous normality, not the worldly normality. To tell you the truth, I don't want to be normal. I want to be extreme in their eyes, crazy in their eyes. Do we compare ourselves with the people in the world? I want to forget everything else. When we meet with God, we should forget our possessions, our necessities, and even our family. How about that? Oh my, don't say that, Brother Minoru. You are so burdened for marriage and family. You talk to us a lot about that. That the marriage life is the holy marriage is for God's purpose. You know, a godly family is for the church life. Yes, I said all these things. I will still say those things. But here today, I will say, forget your family. Forget your possession. Forget your needs and necessities. Just to meet with God. Just to be with him. See what he has to say to you. See what he has wants to touch in you. See what he wants to infuse into you. Furthermore, we should not care for ourselves. Forget about ourselves. Just forget about it. When you have this kind of time with the Lord, you forget about everything. Heaven, earth, your last name, your first name, your middle name. You forget everything. We should simply stay in the presence of God. There's a hymn here. See, God's infusion comes with his speaking. Now we come to the Lord speaking, because in these times of communion and fellowship, Moses is not the main one who did the speaking. And if he spoke because of God speaking to him. Actually, out in our times with the Lord, these kind of deep, lengthy, private times with the Lord is mainly for God to speak to us. And he has a lot to say. You said, I have not heard it. That's because you have not afforded him this opportunity to speak. We're too busy running around. All his calls ended up in our voicemail. We don't even know he called. That happens to me sometimes. Some brother called me. I didn't know he called. I was too busy with many things. Forget about us calling him. Isaiah 64, there is no one who will stir up himself to what? to call on him and to lay hold of him. No one in Israel. Moses received an infusion through God's speaking to him. You know, what is prayer? Prayer is after we hear the Lord. We hear the Lord. And what we hear is what worked into us, mingled with us. We become one with what we heard. We join to what we heard. And we what? We speak what we heard. That is the real prayer. God is in that prayer. God's will is in that prayer. Even it is God praying in our prayer. That kind of oneness can only come from this kind of a time with the Lord. When we meet the Lord alone, brothers and sisters, early in the morning, we should not speak so much. Learn not to speak so much in these times. Really, you need to learn that. Some of us just are too talkative. Some of us have the wrong concept to be with the Lord. You need to give him a message. No, don't speak too much. When I'm with the Lord in this kind of time, I just groan. Lord, oh Lord, what is in you? What do you want? Oh Lord, I have nothing to say, right? There's a lot of things to even learn in how to be with the Lord in these moments. Rather, we should let God speak to us. If God speaks to you, you will receive an infusion from him too. Through the word, we can enjoy the shining of God's face so that we can glow with him for his glory. The more the Lord speaks in you, sometimes to convict, sometimes to condemn, sometimes to adjust, sometimes to enlighten, sometimes to comfort, sometimes to encourage, sometimes to heal, sometimes to command, sometimes to instruct, sometimes to expose. Whatever he would speak through the sense of our spirit, that's how the Lord speaks, through the intuition and fellowship faculties of our spirit. We hear God. We hear him. It is through that that God is shining in us. God's face is shining, transfusing. D, after Moses met with the people, he realized that the skin of his face was shining. Therefore, he put a veil upon his face. But when Moses returned to God, he took off the veil. Before the people, they cannot handle Moses' vitality. Moses was too hot. Yeah? Moses was too living. Moses was too shining. He didn't even know that. He was not aware that, you know, when we are vital, we are not aware, oh, look, I'm so vital. No, when you're just with the Lord in this kind of way again and again, where you are, you just burn people. You don't try to do something. You're just living. And that living convicts, that living exposes, that living energizes, that living stirs. It's not you. It's your reflection of the living God. It's your reflection of his image, like a mirror. Moses was just a piece of mirror reflecting God in front of people. They didn't just see Moses, they saw God. But when Moses went back up the mountain to be with Jehovah, he immediately took up the veil. Why? He wants more transfusion, more face time. This indicates that Moses had an open face, underline open face, to converse with God. You know, a lot of songs in Beholding the Lord, you know, number 643, there's a song, take time to behold him. Take time. This kind of 5 minutes, do the morning revival, will not cut it. Take time. There's something more than just doing the morning revival. Take time to behold him. He is so beautiful. In every detail, it'll take time for you to study his face, God's face, the Lord's face. To behold the beauty in his temple, it takes time. An open face is a heart that has been turned to the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Many of us don't know how to spend the time with the Lord. We started out even with the wrong step, and that is our heart was never turned. Never turned. You may, oh Lord Jesus, use the Spirit, but your heart, your person, your being is actually never turned. You're still thinking about other things. You're still interested in other things. You're still occupied by so many things, including self-interest. You know, heart is never turned, so the veil is still there. To have an unveiled face means that there is no indifference in our hearts. A big problem of lukewarmness is simply an attitude of indifference. Whether I'm with the Lord or not, not much difference. You're not so caring. You don't care. If we have that kind of attitude, I tell you, nothing will happen. We need, I say again, desperation, absoluteness, earnestness. Let's get rid of, brothers and sisters, let's just cast all these things into the Pacific Ocean. Let's do that. Let's just cast it out. Let's cast it out from our own life. Cast that out from our church life. Let our church life be an absolute one, a desperate one. We all pursue the Lord. We all love the Lord. But the degree is what I'm talking about. There's a lacking, a shortage in intensity, in temperature, in duration. So everything is kind of minimal Christian life, minimal church life, minimal service, just maintenance. That will not do it. That is not the Lord's recovery from the beginning 100 years ago. The recovery is about paying a price, going all the way, meaning business, overcoming. That's the spirit of the Lord's recovery. We need another revolution, brothers and sisters. Starts with the heart. The heart, the turning, real turning of our whole heart. Conscience, mind, will, emotion. Four, the last, we Christians need to maintain a clear sky with the Lord. This means that we need to always have a clear fellowship with him. How do we have this fellowship? We're going to get on to the next point concerning confession. We need a new age of confession. We need a new practice of confession, a new depth of confession for us to have clear fellowship with him, to have a clear sky. Cloudless skies above us. We should have nothing between us and the Lord. Where there's nothing between us and the Lord, our sky will be crystal clear and our conscience will be pure, void of any offense. I don't think all of us can say that today there's nothing between us. I think we have a lot of clouds, maybe even heavy mists, heavy fog, heavy clouds that must be dispersed through what? Through our dealing with the Lord, through in this kind of time. It's about time. The highest point in our spiritual experience is to have a clear sky with the throne above it. Such is a vital person. He lives under a cloudless sky. He's not in a spiritual fog. Everything with him is clear. But that's not magic. That's not automatic. He spends the time in the Lord's presence to deal with those things until his conscience is pure. His being is clear. His heart is clean. Who will ascend to Zion, to the hill? He who have clean hands and a pure heart. That does not come automatically. It comes by dealing with the Lord, so that we will possess that condition. Then we are a vital person. Now, I want to just spend the remaining time to ask you all to practice these things. Number one, I have actually another outline, and that outline is needed to help us how to spend this time. So I'm looking to the Lord how even maybe before next 2 weeks from now, I can say a word using that outline, and maybe that can be made available to you in some kind of recorded form at your own time. You can get into it. But I tell you, even to be with the Lord, we need some learning, some deep learning, how to be with the Lord. All right? So that's number one. Number two, I want you to all take these things that I spoke about and with the outline that the brothers will pass on to you, point by point, to what? To bring it to the Lord. All right? Bring it to the Lord, point by point, not glossing over things, not just kind of, oh, I know these things, I've heard it before. No, no, we need to hear it deep in our being again. Some of these things about shutting the door, climbing the mountain, all these things, because we're talking about changing our whole attitude in our relationship with the Lord. It needs an attitudinal change, totally. It's wrong. It's too minimal. It's too superficial. We need a utter change, brothers and sisters, for the Lord to have a breakthrough among us. Number three, I will ask you each week to set aside a time. Just set aside a time. Work out something with your spouse. Work out something with your job. Work out something. You need to spend each week at least 1 hour. And one time is 1 hour with the Lord. Better if you can spend more. And it's better that you can spend more times. But I say minimally. And this is not doing your morning revival. This is not 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. A minimum of 1 hour. You may have difficulty. You may feel challenged. You may feel your mind is all over the place. You may find that your soul cannot be still. But all that is part of the learning. All that is a part of rebuilding up something for the life, for lifelong experience. Don't give up. I find even today when I'm going to be with the Lord in this kind of way, it takes me minutes on end just to get to that point of being still. Not instantly. It does not come instantly. And to enter into the depths, it requires half an hour. I'm not saying this in a legal way. I'm just saying it takes time. I mean, climbing the scaling a mountain takes time. Am I right? There's no gondolas here that will take you up to the mountain of God. You have to climb. And that scaling is an effort, is a strife. But we need to pay the price to meet him, to find his presence, to hear his word. Let's pay that price. So budget, determined, and go set aside those times. And lastly, I would like to say, let us all do something to extract ourselves from the addiction of the internet. All of us. All of us. I don't mean we don't use it. You need it for your job. You need it to do many things, even in the church life. That's not what I mean. But I mean a certain kind of addiction that we cannot live 5 minutes away. I need to find out what's new on my Facebook page. I need to find out what's on the Instagram. I need to, that kind of, even while you're praying, oh, what's by my Instagram? Oh, when you're praying, oh, what's happening over here? What news is happening? We're all addicted. It's an addiction that we have built up. And more than anything else, apart from some of the bad things that are coming our way, infusing us also by sight and by ear. Am I right? Same thing, that God would infuse us. The world will infuse us by eyes and by ear through this very accessible thing. We would take a real digital Sabbath. Or to be with the Lord. Don't take your smartphone with you up the mountain. Leave it down there. We won't die. We won't die. But it's almost like we will die. There may even have to be some withdrawal period. I don't know. But brothers, this is I don't say this lightly and just kind of, no. This is a very, very serious thing that is absolutely usurping us. And in the process, destroying us, our spiritual life with the Lord, rendering us useless, defeated and unvital in terms of meeting God's need today. So I would just say those things for us to practice. This perfecting fellowship, if there's no practice, would not mean so much. So I ask all of you to do that. And don't forget, start in this, do these things personally. Personally, privately, build that up. We still pray with the brothers. We do fellowship. I don't mean you literally go off somewhere to the desert, but the Lord went to the desert. The Lord went to the mountain. He went to a place alone with the Father. Okay, I think I will stop here, brothers. Amen.
Amen, saints. This is all that we had planned today, but let me make a few points. And actually, we believe some very important points before we close. So please do pay attention to how we will go here for the next 3 weeks. First, I'd just like to speak, you know, just as a response, and I believe this is an echo of the Spirit within many of us after hearing this word. What our brother Minoru said at the beginning, that these times are very, very special and too much is at stake related to ourselves and related to the Lord. So I hope that we take what our brother Minoru showed to us this morning, not just as a charge from our brother, but I really do believe this is a charge from the Lord, and he is really calling us. We do really thank the Lord for his mercy to call us in these days in a special way. Concerning the 3 points that our brother Minoru suggested, I'd just like to highlight at the end right now, before we leave whatever device at the end of this meeting, especially to take the third point, and right now consider the 1 hour minimum block a week over the next 3 weeks. Look at your schedule now, not later. We like to suggest now, and block out those times, at least 1 hour every week for the next 3 weeks. Thirdly, we will also recommend that you re-listen to these messages so that you could get into our brother's Minoru's burden further. And in a dedicated way, not in a way of, you know, listening while multitasking, so that when the Lord speaks to you, you will have the opportunity to stop and pray. You can re-watch these messages. We will upload it to the NorCalChurches.org website under the tab for Working Saints. And if our brother Minoru will release that additional message over the outline number 2, that is also where we will upload it, and we will communicate to all you saints when it is up. Now, concerning the outlines, we know many saints have requested that. At our brother's request, we will not make these outlines available as a digital copy, but we will fellowship with the leading brothers soon and to find a way to make it possible to distribute these outlines in hard copies. And finally, before we go, we intend to create another set of prayer burdens that goes along with our brother speaking this morning, that we could use both in our personal time as well as corporate and church times to be able to stay along with this burden and pray for all and pray for the release and our entrance into this. Now, finally, our next meeting with Brother Minoru will be Saturday at 10 a.m. on October 16th. So 3 weeks from now, not 2 weeks. Amen. So saints, please, again, don't leave this time without grasping what the Lord spoke to you, and especially block out those times as the main action that we will take in our main practice that we will have over this next 3 weeks. Amen, saints. Thanks the Lord. I believe that is all that we have. And so praise him. We'll see you in 3 weeks.